7 begins, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Mark Buchanan, the Christian author, tells the story. He says, when you're having one of those frustrating, "I'd like to quit my job, everything is terrible" kind of days, he said, here's what you do. On your way home, stop at your pharmacy, go to the section where they have thermometers. And in that section, he said, purchase a rectal thermometer made by the Q-tip company. It has to be the Q-tip company. He says, open the box, place the thermometer to your side, take out the written material that accompanies the thermometer. Excuse me. As you read this, notice in small print this statement: every rectal thermometer made by Q-tip is personally tested. He says, then close your eyes and say out loud 5 times, "Oh Lord, I am so grateful that I do not work in quality control at the Q-tip company." Today we're going to talk about praying when you're grateful. And that's easy to do most of the time, right? Like, out of all the weeks to talk about this, this is the week that it's the most easy to do, usually. Most of us just ate and celebrated the holiday of Thanksgiving. Many of you, you posted daily things on Facebook you were thankful for this month. Maybe you went around your dinner table at Thanksgiving and shared something you were thankful for. Thanksgiving is a good reminder that we should be grateful every day. And our psalm today is Psalm 107, and it really has 4 different scenes that we're going to look at. And each of these scenes, they're going to serve as a reminder of our need to be grateful. But it's going to go beyond gratitude for something to gratitude for someone. Now, I want you to take just a minute. We're going to practice a little bit here. I'm going to give you just 10 seconds, whatever pops into your mind first. I want you to turn to your neighbor real quick, and I want you to say, "I am grateful for," and then finish that sentence, all right? You got 10 seconds. Go. All right. Now, here's my guess this morning. Now, I could be wrong, but here's my guess. My guess is that the majority of you, if not all of you, mentioned something tangible, like, "I'm thankful for my family," or "for a great Thanksgiving dinner," or "that the Huskers aren't on TV for a few weeks." but here's the reality. Sometimes the things, the situations, the moments, and unfortunately even sometimes the people that you and I are most thankful for in one year can be taken away. They can be changed. They can be flipped upside down by this time next year. See, gratitude, biblical gratitude, goes beyond circumstances and present things. Now, it certainly includes circumstances and present things. Psalm 107 and these 4 scenes are going to show us a psalmist who is grateful for 4 things that God has done. Tangible things, tangible circumstances that he is grateful for. But it's also going to be a springboard this morning for you and I to be reminded to be grateful for who the God is who does the things God does. So scene 1, the psalmist describes God delivering his wandering people. Let's read together, starting in verse 4. It says, "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." The psalmist is grateful because God delivers his wandering people. And this is the story of Israel. It's the story of God's people throughout Scripture. They are those who wander from God. They wandered in the desert. They wandered into captivity. They wandered far from God. They are a wandering people. And the people in this psalm needed God's help. It may have been because of their own doing, their own foolishness, their own poor decisions. Or it might have been things beyond their control, or possibly some combination of the two. So they called out to the Lord. He heard their cry and he delivered him. But the psalmist praises God because God pursued them. He praises God because God found them, he heard them, and he delivered them. God never stopped pursuing this people, and he led them to a promised land. He led them back home to him. And so the psalmist praises God for the tangible deliverance that he has seen. But church, this is also a reminder to you and I to be grateful that Jesus, our King, is a pursuer and a deliverer. That we serve a king who is a pursuer and a deliverer. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told this parable. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one who is lost? He goes until he finds it. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders. He rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors. And he says to them, 'Rejoice with me, be grateful with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so," Jesus said, "I tell you that there will be more joy," or some could say gratitude, "in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." Jesus tells this parable. He describes this shepherd who would go after, it's this shepherd that pursues, that goes after the one sheep who has wandered away and delivers him. And in John chapter 10, Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. In John 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus reminds us that we serve a king who is a pursuer and is a deliverer. And maybe this morning you feel far from God. Or maybe Thanksgiving is a reminder of the family in your life that don't know Jesus. Or the people that you know that have wandered away from who God created them to be. And it makes you feel stuck. It makes you feel like the wanderer will never come home. It makes you wonder why things haven't changed. And maybe it puts us in a place where we're not very grateful for the place or the circumstance we find ourselves in because the wandering hasn't ended. And I want to tell you this morning, that's okay. Because you can still be grateful. Not because of your circumstances or the circumstances of the people in your life, but in the midst of them. Because Jesus is a pursuer and a deliverer. And we need to be grateful not just when God does something. We need to be grateful because God is these things. And so maybe you're in a season of waiting for the wanderer to come home. Maybe you're in a season of waiting for deliverance to happen. It does not change the fact that the king that you and I serve, if you're a follower of Jesus, that he is always a pursuer and a deliverer, and that is worthy of gratitude. One of my favorite things at Journey, if you've been going here for a while, you've seen this, whether it's in person or it's on a screen, is every time somebody gives their life to Jesus and is baptized, they bury their old life and they're raised anew. It's a standing ovation here. And maybe you wonder how that started. It was probably 14 or 15 years ago. It's been at least in the last 17 years. There were two college football players that used to go here named Ben and Alex. Alex and Ben were defensive football players up at the college, and they are two guys who found Jesus in college, had been delivered from their life of sin, and had been delivered from wandering away from God. And one Sunday, somebody here got baptized, and those two were here. They were sitting kind of over there somewhere towards the front. And when that person came out of the water, Alex and Ben stood up and started applauding and then turned around and goes, "Come on!" Now, you need to understand, Alex and Ben were big. Like, Alex was like 6'8". And so when Alex said, "Stood up," you stood up. And so the rest of us go, "Yes, sir." And we all started clapping. And afterwards, we asked them, we said, "What was that about?" And I don't remember which one of them said this, and I don't remember if this was their exact words, but it was something along the lines of, "It's crazy to us that you guys come on Saturday and stand when we score a touchdown, but somebody just got delivered from death to life, and nobody was applauding." And it stuck. Because we serve a king who never stops pursuing. It's who Jesus is. He will deliver you if you turn to him because it's who he is. Jesus is always a deliverer and a pursuer, and for that I am grateful. Scene number two. the psalmist describes God delivering prisoners. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and he cuts in two the bars of iron. The psalmist shows gratitude because God delivered people who were trapped in prison and he has now set them free. People who were in shackles and irons, and they cried out to God, and he delivered them from their distress. He rescued them from captivity. And church, that is a reminder to you and I to be grateful that the King that we serve, Jesus, is a rescuer. In Luke chapter 4, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where this was written. It said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, so to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What Jesus was saying is this scripture that told you someone would come who is a rescuer, someone who would come who would set captives free, who would break the bonds that chained people in captivity. I am the one that scripture talked about. Now maybe there's some of us here today who you've experienced that literally. You've literally been set free at one point in your life from being in prison or captivity, and praise God for that. But I would guess there's many of us here who maybe we've never experienced that sort of physical, real setting free from being captive. But all of us have experienced being held captive and needed rescue from darkness. Scripture is incredibly clear that every single person who's ever been created has been held captive by sin. We have all been imprisoned. We have all been enslaved by the darkness that is the opposite of who God is and who he created us to be. Scripture is incredibly clear. In fact, back in the day, churches used to have a real-life, tangible reminder of the need to be rescued. You can still see this if you drive out in some of the country roads. You see some of these really old country churches that have cemeteries in front of them. That was actually a real strategic thing that churches did way back in the day. They wanted a cemetery in front of their church as a reminder that you have to walk through death to get to life. That all of us have been held captive by sin and death, and the only thing that got us out of that was Jesus, the rescuer. It's because Jesus is a rescuer that you and I can be grateful. And maybe you're here this morning and you still feel trapped. You still feel held captive by sin. Maybe you feel like you've tried everything to be set free, to get rid of the things that hold you down, that make you feel tied and captive. Maybe life has made you feel trapped and you feel like you've tried everything to get out of it and nothing has worked, and gratefulness doesn't seem to be on the tip of your tongue this morning. I want you to know this morning you can still be grateful. Not because of the struggle in your life, but in the midst of it. Because there is a king, his name is Jesus, and he is a rescuer. He is a king who sets people free. He is the rescuer. In Colossians 1, it says that Jesus, he says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and God has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In John 8, Jesus told them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." You're captive. He says, but the slave does not remain captive in the house forever. The son remains forever. The son takes his place. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus is the one who sets captives free. And if you're here this morning and you feel held captive, you feel held trapped by sin, you need to understand this morning there is someone who will always rescue you when you turn to him. His name is Jesus. He is a rescuer. And for that, I am grateful. Scene three, gratitude because God has delivered the sick. Starting in verse 17, he says, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word, and he healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Now understand this morning, in this scene, the psalmist is describing people who are physically afflicted and suffering, and at least it's at least partially because of something they've done. It's at least partially a consequence of the sin that they had done in their life and living in a fallen world. And I think you and I, we often tend to forget that sickness and suffering and pain and disease, none of that was part of God's creation plan. Now hear me this morning. There are certainly times in life where the physical afflictions that you and I face are because of the stupid choices that you and I made, right? Like that's what happens sometimes. But there is a whole nother section, the majority of the time, where we are afflicted by things that harm us physically that have nothing to do with anything that we've done. That the disease and the pain and the sickness is simply a part of living in a fallen world. And I think you and I need reminded that nobody is more angered by those things than God. That God's intention when he created the world was that there was no sickness, there was no disease, there was no pain, there was no suffering. And then we as humans chose to sin and that led to a fallen world. But that doesn't change the fact that God's original intention was that none of those things exist. And the people in this psalm, they're suffering physically and they cry out to a God and God delivers them from this. He heals them from this physical affliction. And this story is a reminder to you and I to be grateful that Jesus is a healer. In John 10, Jesus said, a thief will come to steal and kill and destroy. He says, but I come that you can have life and have it abundantly. In Matthew 8, we read one of numerous examples in Scripture like this, where it says, evening brought to Jesus many who were oppressed by demons. He cast out spirits, and with a word, he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Jesus, our King, is a healer. But what about when the disease doesn't go away? I think we're all aware. I think we've all probably experienced times in our life where we have seen God do the miraculous. Where we have prayed and we have seen God bring healing. We have seen diseases go away. We have seen sickness run. We've all experienced that and we've all been grateful. But I think we've all also equally experienced times where we've prayed and we've called out to God and the disease doesn't leave and the sickness doesn't go away. So what do we do with that? Like Jesus wasn't saying there's some magical cantation or there's some special word that if you say it just the right way or if I wave my hand the right way, it all goes away. That's not how it works. We know that. So what about when that doesn't happen? What about when sickness only gets worse? What about when the cries for healing seem to go unanswered? How are you grateful in the midst of that? I'm reminded of Revelation 21, where the writer of Revelation, John, describes what he sees. It's a picture of the future when Jesus the King returns. He says, I see a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven, the first earth passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away." And why will that happen? Because our King is a healer. Because Jesus is a healer, and Jesus will ultimately heal all things. He will eventually return and set all things right. All sad things will become untrue. There will be a time where Jesus returns and there is never a need to pray for healing because the things that need healed will go away. And you and I can be grateful this morning even when the sickness isn't cured. Because our gratitude is not solely dependent on a healing that is found this side of heaven. It is dependent on a healer who will take us to heaven to be with him. And he never changes. And he eventually does heal all things for those who follow him. And so while we will continue to pray, and we will continue to expect God to do the miraculous this side of heaven because he is one who heals, we will also be reminded that he is a healer who will come and set us free forever from everything that hinders us. And for that, this morning, I am grateful. One more scene. The psalmist describes God delivering them from storms. He says, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven." Excuse me. "They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders." In this last scene, the psalmist describes people who are being tossed to and fro by the waves. Now maybe the psalmist is literally describing a group of people who were actually being tossed at sea. That's very possible in that day and age. Or he could be describing a metaphorical storm of life, being tossed to and fro by the chaos of the things that happen in everyday life. It really doesn't matter either way. It doesn't change the fact that God calmed the storm. He stilled the waves and he delivered them from their distress. And it's a reminder to you and I, church, that we serve a king that we can be grateful for because he is the King of Peace in the midst of the storm. In fact, Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. In Mark chapter 4, we read the story of Jesus literally calming the waters. Evening had come. He told his disciples to go to the other side, and he left the crowd, and he took them with them to the boat, and he was in the boat with them. Other boats were around them, and the boat was already beginning to fill as the waves were breaking and the storm began to come. But Jesus was in the stern. He was asleep on a cushion. And the disciples, they woke Jesus up, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're dying?" And Jesus awoke. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, he said, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the disciples got their first glimpse of this king, this Jesus who is peace in the midst of the storm. And I often wonder if Jesus, in his eternal perspective, if he ever looks at me and says the same thing to me when I get so worked up. Like I wonder if Jesus ever looks at me as I cower in fear because life isn't going the way I want, or there are things, that obstacles that seem insurmountable in my life. I ever wonder if Jesus looks at me and he sees me sinking fast in the chaos of life, and he just simply says, "What are you doing? Why are you so afraid?" Like, notice that Jesus doesn't diminish what's going on. Jesus doesn't look at them and go, "Come on, fellas, the waves are not that big." Jesus doesn't even, he doesn't look at them and say, "Come on, fellas, the boat's fine." He never once diminishes the circumstance. He only asks them how they've forgotten who he is. And church, I think you and I need to hear that this morning. That Jesus will never look at whatever it is that's rocking your life and go, "Dude, like seriously?" That's not what he does. Jesus will simply ask, "Have you forgotten who he is?" In the storms in your life that make your boat sink are your storms. And if they're big to you, then they're big. That's all that matters. But Jesus reminds us that our gratitude is not based on how high or how low or how easy the sailing of life is. Our gratitude is based on a Savior who calms all the waters. So when peace seems out of reach, when waves seem higher than you and I can handle, when the unknown feels greater than the known in the moment, you and I can still be grateful. Not because of the storm, but in the midst of it. Because we serve a King who is peace in the storm. He is calm in the chaos. He is hope in the hopelessness. And he is over all things, no matter how high or low they seem. He is a King who is peace. And for that I am grateful. Over and over and over again in this psalm, and honestly in the history of God's people, it says the same thing over and over and over again. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. Every scene said the same thing. Every scene was different. But every scene said the same thing. They cried out to the Lord in the middle of their distress, and he delivered them. That's the history of God's people. God's people get in trouble. They pray. God answers. He delivers them. They give thanks. And church, gratitude is something that you and I need to express more for the things that God does around us. Don't miss that this morning. In the midst of these reminders of who God is, don't miss that you and I should live a life of gratitude, because there are things that happen in our life every day, tangible things that come from God that you and I should be grateful for. God delivers. We should give thanks when we or someone we know has been rescued from sin. We should give thanks when we see God deliver someone who has wandered away. We should give thanks when we see someone healed from sickness. We should get on our knees and lift our hands in gratitude and praise God when the storms of life are calm. We need to recognize God's hand in our life way, way more than we do. But our gratitude is not dependent on those things happening, because our gratitude goes beyond our circumstances to the King who is over all circumstances. And we can be grateful even when it's hard, because Jesus is the King who never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never forgets us. He is always with us until the end of the age, when he returns and sets all things right. The band's going to come and lead us in a song this morning. It's one of my favorite songs. And we're going to sing this word that we sing in a lot of songs of praise, hallelujah. And that word, hallelujah, it's a Hebrew word. It literally means praise Yahweh or praise the Lord. Praise the one who is over all things. And we're going to sing a song in just a minute that speaks to what we've just been reminded of. that sometimes expressing gratitude is hard, even though it shouldn't be. And sometimes the words are hard because what God has done is so crazy that words escape us, right? Like sometimes God does something so ridiculously crazy in our life that you're just at a loss for words. But sometimes gratitude is hard because we haven't gotten the answer that we want yet. Sometimes gratitude seems almost out of place given what's going on in our life. But there is a word for both those situations when the words fail us. And that word is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because, first of all, God is always worthy of praise, not just because of what he's done, but because of who he is. But also because hallelujah reminds us that he is Lord. He is King. And he is over all things, even when his hand is hard to see. He is always going to be a pursuer. He will always be a deliverer, a rescuer, a healer, and peace, and so much more. And this song is about gratitude when words are hard. It says, all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song ends and you never do. So I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again, because all I have is a hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart that sings hallelujah. And church, maybe this morning hallelujah is all you have. Maybe it's the only word that comes out because gratitude is really hard. That's okay. Maybe this morning the words of gratitude flow freely and your hallelujah is overflowing. If that's the case, praise God, and maybe most of us are somewhere in between. But here's the best part, church. Our King, King Jesus, is a King who always welcomes us, who always meets us where we're at, who accepts us as we are, and who takes all praise, no matter how easy or how hard it comes. And he is unchanging, he is always worthy, he is always present, and he is always ready to wrap his arms of love and forgiveness and grace around you, no matter how you come before him. He just invites you to come. So that's what we do this morning. We invite you to come to a Savior who always has open arms for you. And for that this morning, church, I am grateful.